Good morning. We'd like to welcome everyone to this morning's study session for the Mesa City Council for Thursday, December 15th, 2011. I would like to excuse Councilmember Dave Richens, who's out of town, and Councilmember Chris Glover, whose brother is graduating from college today. So he had a conflict, so we're happy for him. We'll proceed. First of all, there posted was a special meeting of the City Council, which we will not be holding today. So if I don't think anyone showed up for that, but if you did, we're not going to be holding that special meeting this morning. We'll hold that if we need to at a future time. So we'll proceed with the study session agenda. The first item is to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction to the fire department regarding the donation of two fire pumpers to our sister city, Guaymas, Mexico. Mr. Bloomer.
Mr. Mayor, council members. We have two 1995 Pierce Dash 1500 GPM pumpers that have met the criteria for replacement with the city of Mesa due to age, mileage, or obsolescence, and we would like to be able to donate those vehicles to the city of Guaymas, sister city in Mexico. Currently, Guaymas has plans on building a new fire station. They are hurting on funds down there and could use the support from the city of Mesa on these two vehicles. Their current plan and talking with the members of the department down there is to use one of these vehicles as a frontline pumper and the other as a part source to keep it going. And we would like to get your support in order to do this. Councilmember Glover has been very active in this, and also Councilmember Kavanaugh, as head of the Public Safety Committee, has been working with Councilmember Glover on this. And we've been talking with members from the Guaymas Department and going back and forth. So at this time, we'd like to ask for your support in donating these vehicles.
Okay, Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. I really like to appreciate Councilmember Glover and Chief Bloomer for their work in bringing this issue forward to the council. The city has a very long tradition of partnership with Guaymas for issues just like this. We have donated fire trucks, sanitation vehicles, and Southwest Ambulance has donated ambulances to our sister city. And when you go to Guaymas, San Carlos, it's a very interesting feeling to see the Mesa vehicles on the streets, and it's created a great amount of goodwill in that community. Plus, it's been a tremendous asset for Guaymas to meet the needs of its residents. And we think it's a great sister city issue to work on, and I would hope the council would support the recommendations of Councilmember Glover and Chief Bloomer. And I think the hope is to be able to present or have a formal presentation of these fire trucks to the city of Guaymas during the sister city visit in February of next year. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Fenter.
I was just going to say, I can remember back in the 70s, you know, the department has assisted Sacaton Indian Reservation, and I saw a list of all the other folks over these decades that we've been doing this program, and Sister Cities is such a wonderful program also. So it's a long pattern and a long tradition of being able to support, struggling organizations, throughout, North America, South America, others. So I think it's a wonderful program. I support it. Thanks.
Jim. If we don't donate it, what are the other options, or what is
basically what we will do is we will sell these vehicles, and typically we get between $5,000 and $15,000 a piece for them, depending on the vehicle.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Any objection to fire department taking this action? Okay.
Thank you.
Formal motion or just direction?
Do we need formal or just direction?
No, you just given direction today.
You have been directed.
So directed.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on addition of new plaques at the Heritage Wall. Mr. Murphy.
So directed. Oh, we got to wait.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. As you mentioned, we're here to talk about the Heritage Wall. The Heritage Wall was formed a few years ago. In 1999, a group of citizens were put together to assemble a list of events that transformed Mesa, basically from the beginning when it was founded in February of 1878. After approval by City Council, 49 plaques were transformed to bronze plaques on the Heritage Wall, with the last installation in February 14, 2002. The last plaque is Diversity in Mesa, dated 1996. Recently, we put together another team to talk about a transformative project since 1996. That team consisted of Donna Binge, who is the chair of the Historic Preservation Board, Kevin Christopher, who is on the Mesa Historical Society and also a city employee in the Public Information and Communications Department, Jerry Howard, who is on the Mesa Preservation Foundation and a city staff member of the Arts and Culture Department, Vic Lenoff, Mesa Preservation Foundation and Mesa Historical Society, Cindy Ornstein, who is the director of the Arts and Culture Department, Tom Rhodes, who is our representative from the Chamber of Commerce, Jim Ripley is the chair of the Mesa Historical Society Board of Directors, John Wesley, who's our planning and historic preservation director, Tom Wilson, who's also on the Arts and Culture Department, and myself. In the audience today, a couple of the members are here. It's Kevin Christopher, Vic Lenoff, and Cindy Ornstein. Basically, the Heritage Walk team recommends council direct staff to consider adding one or more of the following projects. Those are light rail transit, aviation aerospace, the Mesa Arts Center, and the historic preservation movement. The next slides talk about what the narrative will be on the plaque. If you recall, the plaques, they have the date and the title, and then underneath is the narrative. I can read these if you like, or you can just... Well, basically, the light rail is just pointing out the importance of light rail and how it came to Mesa in 2008. And the Sycamore Station is the most busy station, and it's helped generate support for extending that system to downtown Mesa. The next is excellence in aerospace. Mesa has been recognized as a leader in aerospace, and this talks about the two great airports that we have at Phoenix, Mesa Gateway and Falcon Field, over 10,000 people that are employed around the airports, and also the fact that Allegiant at Gateway celebrated its arrival of the 1 millionth passenger recently. The Mesa Arts Center is the next plaque we're talking about, and this talks about how great of a project that is and an economic development engine for downtown. And also talks about how the founding resident companies helped create the vision for the MAC, and how the center was built with quality of life sales tax that was approved by the citizens, and also an additional $5 million that was raised by citizens to complete that project. The last project we're talking about today is the historic preservation movement. And this talks about how Mesa adopted a preservation ordinance to basically give a better understanding and appreciation of Mesa's history. And since then, we've created numerous historic districts and also several historic properties, and recognized dozens of citizens who have given value and meaning to Mesa through historic preservation. Upon council approval, we will work with Diversified Foundry Service on the final layout of the plaques. We did a bid process to select someone to make the bid, the plaques, and also install them. Diversified Foundry Services, a Mesa company, did win that bid. In order to unveil the plaques at what we're hoping to be on February 9th, as part of the centennial events, we'll need to order the plaques by next Thursday. In January, the team will meet again to talk about a few things. Specifically, we're going to talk about the process for future plaques. If you notice on the wall, there's 14 blank slabs now. We're asking council to, again, select one or all four, depending on what you'd like to do today. And then we'll, as years progress, we'll come back to the city council with additional plaques that we'd like to add to the wall. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? I don't think we're awake yet. I got a couple questions. I'm a little interested in the historic preservation. I understand that that's an important deal. A couple questions to whether it rises to the level that some of the other events do, because the first thing that makes me think of that is the date is 1993. When we went through this process before in 2002, we went up through 1996, and this was not considered enough. So it looks like this looks like the Veterans Committee choosing somebody that was passed over before. And so I'm wondering what the discussion was and the thought was to get to that level where that is a transformative that the entire community can understand. And I got Councilmember Kavanaugh sitting here raising his hand. So,
Mayor, I can help fill in the blanks a little bit. I was part of the citizen movement in 1983 to encourage the city to adopt the preservation ordinance, but the reality is it really didn't come into play or being executed or used until 1996. Because my very first council meeting in June of 1996 is where we approved the first two historic districts in our city. And from 1996 forward has really been where the preservation movement has taken off in terms of recognizing historic properties and individuals in the community. So while the council actually enacted the ordinance in 1993, the transformative effects really of it didn't start happening until 1996 and after, and so I think that's why, with the passage of time, that's why the committee now has recommended that we consider it, as opposed to back in 1999 when the first series of plaques were being considered. Thank you.
Thanks. That fills in the blank. I guess I'm not against historic. I think it's a wonderful, great thing. I'm just wondering if it is at the level, since we only have 14 more events. These other ones, when you look at them, they're seminal events. When you look at light rail, you know, that's going to change our city for generations. The excellence in aerospace, got some questions with what we're really celebrating there, but there's no doubt that what's happened in the last little while is significant. And our two airports and the opening of Gateway and the success as a true commercial reliever airport, there's no doubt that that is huge. And it's unique for us. The Arts Center, goes without question, was there last night, and it's had an impact on this community that I think is really underappreciated and once again is a generational type of a thing. You know, not that I'm against anything, I just question whether the historic preservation rises at that level. And I may be the only one that's thinking that. I want to make sure that the things we celebrate here are really spectacular in nature. And I get it that a lot of people may think that is. I just got a question whether it rises that level. Councilor Higgins.
I would comment on that also. It seems like we're celebrating bureaucrats, you know, ordinances. No one's a real ordinance fan. So that's what first came to my mind. So I agree with the mayor that, you know, these other events are huge and transformative, but to celebrate an ordinance isn't one of the big events when you look at the event wall. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, once again, we're not talking down. I feel guilty raising this issue because you got things that are really, really spectacular and things that are spectacular. And we got a little bit of space. The other thing is that, you know, historical preservation is fairly common among other cities. It's something that a lot of cities do. And I'm not, once again, I feel bad because I'm not talking it down. It sounds like I am.
Right.
I'm just wondering whether it rises to that level.
Mayor, I'm just wondering, maybe way this could be couched differently is not to focus on the ordinance, but the outcome. Maybe it's celebrating at some point, maybe it's a rewrite of the historic, what are the outcome of the ordinance been? Well, it's preservation of neighborhoods or a historic neighborhood or talking about. I'm not sure where. Maybe it's getting less emphasis on,
you know, and that,
the ordinance and the than the
well. For example,
on the
For example, we have the neighborhood just to the north here that was recognized as one of the great neighborhoods in America, and I think part of that is because of the efforts of or the
you can mention
the
that effort,
yeah. I mean the impact of that of what was done. you know, 15, 18 years ago. You know, maybe you're hit on something there. Councilman Kavanaugh?
And again, I guess what I think the focus should be is recognition of a community embracing historical preservation movement is the transformative effect, because quite honestly, as a city in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, Mesa had a terrible track record on historic preservation and demolished dozens, if not hundreds, of structures that were historically significant to the community. But really starting in the early 90s through the current time, I think there's been a recognition by the community and the council that as a policy value, historic preservation is important to a community for stability of neighborhoods, for economic development, for tourism, for a whole variety of things to help preserve that, the heritage of the community. And so the focus really shouldn't be on the adoption of an ordinance or on a law. It should be recognition of a movement that changed the kind of the culture of the community to understand the importance of historic preservation. So I think that's where the committee is coming from in proposing this, and it just may well be that we need to work on the language of the plaque to reflect that more rather than just saying we're celebrating a law.
I think if you take what Mr. Brady says, that fits more with what you described. You know, because part of this, you can look at it as say, duh, you know, we were so bad before, we finally did something that was right. I don't know if that's something you celebrate. But I agree with you that it's a great event that Mesa finally came around. It was part of a recognition, and maybe it was of a maturity, maybe, or maybe a change in attitude that these things were important. I think if the wording were more along those lines, I'd feel more comfortable with it. So maybe if you worked on that wording,
yeah, definitely,
and came back. The other thing is that, you know, once again, I don't want to trying to pull this up again. On the aviation aerospace, if you could go back and look at that wording, I think there are things there that could greater emphasize the impact. And you have, and I don't want to micro look at it, but one thing that bugs me, you have Allegiant instead of Allegiant Airlines. And I think someone 20 years from now is not going to know what Allegiant is, Allegiant Airlines. So... just maybe look at that. And
yeah, I'm writing down notes. That okay. Way I'll remember that. Thank you.
But I think the first three events, there's no doubt that those are, I think those would be almost consensus that those are incredible events that should be recognized and will be recognized years from now as being game changers in the city. And if you come back with some wording, maybe I'll feel different on the
historical. Well, do, Mayor, we need to get this to the boundary soon, so we'll email it out to you over the weekend.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Next item is to hear a presentation discuss Mesa Festival of Creativity. Miss Cindy?
Is this going to be creative?
Good morning, everyone.
This better not be a regular PowerPoint, given the name.
Well, the reason for the PowerPoint is that this is an event that needs to have visuals to support the understanding of what it's about, because, in fact, it is very creative. Thank you for hearing this presentation this morning. I'm excited to share this with you. Thank you. I wasn't focusing on that yet. Thank you, Kevin. What I'd like to preface this presentation by is to say that I think that the city of Mesa has been doing a really good job of building the quality and awareness of the events we have in downtown Mesa. We have the wonderful Celebration of Freedom that's been in place for 2 years now, very successfully. Second Friday has been, which is a grassroots merchant-driven festival, has been bringing more and more people into town on a monthly basis. We at the Mesa Arts Center have been growing our festivals and refining them. And I think that festivals are really unique in the way they create an access point for new people and create a sense of the downtown area as a gathering place for the community. And this festival that I'm about to share with you is designed to really do those things, but do something much bigger. It's designed to be a new signature event for downtown Mesa and for the city of Mesa. And the intention is to capitalize on the opportunity during spring break, when families are off, and during spring training, when we have so many out-of-town visitors, to really not only put our best foot forward, but to position Mesa as a place that values and enjoys wonderful assets in terms of creativity and innovation. And that is what we want to associate ourselves with. So the Mesa Festival of Creativity is a new festival in downtown Mesa. And you see here the logo for the festival. And I just want to point out that it does have as its basis the M from the Mesa Arts Center logo. And it has this Jackson Pollock-like figure splashed with paint. And then these lines around it that could be, what are they? Are they about technology? Are they about atoms? Are they about movement? They're about all of that, because as you'll see, this festival tries to encompass the things that really are at the heart of creativity, which include art and include science and technology. So we're trying to be a very broad festival about discovery and creativity. They also don't say Mesa Art Center. They say Mesa Festival of Creativity, because we are beginning this festival at the Mesa Art Center, but we envision it as expanding down Main Street and throughout downtown eventually and becoming a downtown-wide event. It's focused on the idea. It's a little different than most festivals in that it's very much focused on being an immersive experience. So we're celebrating the creativity not only of artists, but of the participants and the community as a whole. And I think you'll see that as we go through. And I'm gonna most of the slides are visuals to help you understand what we're gonna feature at the festival. These are just past events that give a sense of the excitement that a festival brings to the Mesa Arts Center and the community. And I'd like to share the featured performers with you. We are going to feature Mass Ensemble. This is a group out of LA that designs and plays original percussion and stringed instruments. One of their instruments that you see here is the Earth Harp. It's the world's largest stringed instrument. It, when played outside, it gets strung to a building. So they'll be strung to the top of the Acada Theater, and they'll literally be playing the Acada Theater. They also have these wonderful original percussion instruments. You can see some of their original harps. So it's visually exciting as well as orally exciting. And in between the performances, there'll be times when the citizens who are at the festival will be able to get up and put on the gloves and try their hands at playing the Earth Harp. You play it by running your hands along the strings. So that will be an exciting addition to the festival. This is Transfix. And yes, you are looking at living human beings. They are not sculptures. This is a company out of Tempe, and they do what they call atmospheric theater performances. They're like living sculpture, and they interact with the audience and actually hand little tokens, little gifts to the audience. But they move through the festival and help create the atmosphere of the festival. And this is Transfix. You can see they're all in white. They'll be featured the first weekend. And then the second weekend, they'll come back as a second group that the same group of performers do, which is called Spectrum, which is these bright colored, they're in bright colors instead of white. So that'll be a different experience for those who come back around the second weekend. We are bringing back one of the luminaria from the wonderful artist that did Amakoko, Alan Parkinson. Originally, I thought we would wait every other year, but we have some momentum built. Mirazozo is going to be in the country, and it is a different experience. As you can see, when you look at the structure, it's shaped differently, and it has these lines running through it that make it visually a very different kind of experience to go through. But most importantly, we had a wonderful response to Amakoko. It built over the course of the 10 days, and we were sold out the last 4 days. So I think that there's now an understanding of what this thing is And now, and the media got more and more excited during last year's event. So I feel that we can be confident that we will have a tremendous response from the public and the media to Mira Zozo. So we are planning to feature this for all 10 days of the festival, and we will charge an admission. There will be a $5 admission again to Mira Zozo. This is a really exciting part of the festival. We're doing a commissioned work. It's actually a series of commissioned works. They're interactive art and technology projects. We're bringing together artists and technicians from Heatsink Labs in downtown, from ASU graduate programs in arts, media, and engineering, and the music department, University of Advancing Technology faculty and students, and Southwest Scrap Exchange, a new group that's coming into Mesa that does art out of reused materials. And they are creating, there are actually five projects they're creating in the heart of Mesa Art Center that will use art and technology, and the participants will actually affect what happens in the art. So during the day, there'll be a sound environment for the public, and then in the evening, because the festival will be noon to 9 every day, so from sunset till 9, Mira Zozo will be open, and there'll be these really exciting light projects that people can interact with, projections and lights and sound. We are featuring Joseph Sentrock Perez, a breakdancer and visual artist who paints large canvases while breakdancing. He'll be here with three dancers, a DJ, and a percussionist, and they'll be there the last 4 days of the festival. They'll create a couple of canvases a day, which will be hung from the terraces in the Art Center. So we'll have these wonderful large paintings that he's made, and the public will be able to watch them being made. We're doing a display of interactive sculptures and creative inventions. We're reaching out in an invitational fashion to local artists and inventors and looking for really unusual things that the public won't have experienced before. This creative invention in the picture, I took a picture of it at a festival in Seattle this year. And what it is it has all these gears connected to that big wheel. And when if you see the big pipes in the back, the public comes up and turns the wheel, it moves the gears and those pipes play sounds. And you can see people were coming up and really getting into checking it out. That's what we want this to be about, is, again, it's about people doing, it's about people experimenting and seeing new things, trying new things. So we hope to have a half a dozen to 10 various kinds of creative inventions for people to experience. We had at the Dia de los Muertos at the end of October, we had this wonderful large mural in the courtyard by MCA done by two local artists. And we're hiring those artists to come back, and we want to connect Mira Zozo to the rest of the festival. As you know, we only have room for it in the end of the parking lot. So they're going to do about four or six times this size of large chalk drawing, and there'll be an opportunity for the kids to create their own chalk drawings around it. And that will be on the theme, "The Desert is My Playground." I should have mentioned that is the theme of the interactive art and technology project as well. It will be desert themed, but it will be a digital playground. And we're doing a community Lego sculpture. These are a couple of examples of large-scale Lego sculptures. And what the artists do is they build a maquette, a small version, and then the community actually builds the building blocks of it, and the artists assemble it into a larger Lego sculpture on site. Ours is going to be a group of cactus and bushes. The feature will be a 10-foot-tall multicolored saguaro cactus. This is the maquette, but it still has desert flowers to be added to it, and there's going to be a desert owl in it. And then there'll be bushes around it made out of Legos. But the cool part is whether you come up and add one little Lego brick to a piece that's being built, or whether you sit there for an hour and build one all by yourself, the community over the 10 days will all literally own a little piece of this large Lego sculpture. They can come back and see it and see what they've created. This is another community art project. You'll see that as a theme. We want people to actually feel their ownership of this festival. So we're going to make origami birds. And what we're going to do with them is attach ribbons to them and fill the lower branches of the trees at the Mesa Art Center. And when those are filled, which in 10 days we should really be able to fill those nicely, but then we want to move down Main Street so that what visitors will see is these wonderful, colorful birds filling the trees all the way down Main Street, and hopefully that will bring people down the street to go to our merchants in downtown Mesa. We're bringing back the Community Weaving Project. If you didn't see it at last year when we had Amakoko, all of the fences behind the Wells Fargo Garden and around MCA were turned into a giant community quilt with, again, each person, whether they added one strand or many strands, owned a piece of this giant community weaving, and it was so beautiful when it was finished, and they really got excited. They wrapped the trees. The kids were creating a lattice of fabrics over the MCA courtyard, and in the end, the entire fence around the MCA and the fence behind the Wells Fargo Garden were like this. They were woven into a community quilt. So, again, ownership by the community. We'll have a studio sampler each afternoon. There'll be a one-hour art workshop for only $5 that people can sign up for that morning on site. There'll be in a variety of media you can see here. And during the whole festival, there'll be other workshops, 3 and 4 hours, in all our studios so that people can come and sample what their studio program is like. Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater will be performing a couple of weeks later. And so through the generosity of Wells Fargo and a grant from them, two of the educator dancers from Alvin Ailey will come and spend the whole week with us doing workshops for the community. And the workshops are only $5 a piece. Or if you sign up for the week, there's one for teens that's $25 to take it for the week. So they're very affordable because of Wells Fargo's support. And this, if you don't know, Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater is it's a multiracial but African-American-based dance company that is internationally acclaimed, based in New York, and magnificent. And this is an incredible opportunity for our community to participate. And a number of the workshops, I mean, they're in things like African dance and hip-hop, not just modern dance. And a number of them require no experience, so somebody new can try their hand or feet, as the case may be. Mesa Contemporary Arts will feature 5 wonderful exhibitions during this time, including the very, very popular annual Contemporary Craft Exhibition. We will have extraordinary performers on the grounds, and we will have wonderful ticketed performances in the theaters as well during this time, including Southwest Shakespeare's production of Art and Lily Tomlin, and this happens to include St. Patrick's Day, and we have Taylor's Irish Cabaret. So that's the Festival of Creativity. I hope you'll all come out and enjoy it. We are putting in a contingency budget for this. We do have, we have a portion of the funds in the budget. We are estimating that Mira Zozo will produce about 80,000 in admissions, which is, I think, a conservative estimate. Last year, with a slow start and a building, we produced 60,000. So I think with people knowing what it is right up front, we feel very confident about that. And then the other 100,000 is coming out of excess revenues from performing live, because we are going to exceed our performing live budget by quite a lot this year. We're actually inching close to meeting this year's budget with the ticket sales that we have in hand. So we're going to be exceeding that budget by couple of hundred thousand at least, so we'll be in good shape to cover the cost of the festival. That's it?
I'm tired just listening.
Yes, try
program. You wore me out, and I haven't even stepped foot on it.
Mayor, you got to go to every one.
Wow.
Congratulations.
No, that's what scared me, as I pictured myself with Alvin Ailey dancing, and that was...
That's what made you tired.
No, that's what... I won't say what... Councilmember Fenter.
Wow. And last year on Amakoko, I know there were some figures, but Didn't we, just with that new signature event, weren't there over, how many people?
We had, well, what we know is that 16,000 people went through Amakoko last year in the 10 days. We did do it 12 hours a day, and we've decided to do this 9 hours a day because we're picking the 9 hours that were the busiest and trying to maximize that time and not kill our staff since we haven't this huge festival going on with it. But it will be open all the hours of the festival, which is 12 to 9 every day. So we're estimating about 25,000 people, going through going through Amakoko. Maybe won't be able to be quite 25,000, but over 25,000 people will come to the festival for sure.
Amazing. I remember last year driving on Main Street and literally having to wait because there were droves of people moving from the parking lots over. And it's what energy. This is exactly what people have been asking for. And so I really appreciate your leadership and doing such an event like this to make downtown so much better. And I'm excited. Normally we had in the past have gone out of town for a spring break, and I look forward to bringing my kids and grandkids and being here. So just wonderful. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
I'm not sure people were asking for Dean Higgins and Scott Smith dancing with the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. But we'll test that. Right. Well, he said this is what people are looking for, asking for. Vice Mayor.
The mayor doesn't need any, here you go. In case you can't see that, who's got the camera? There it is. I'm keeping this photo.
You can do it.
This is a picture of the mayor.
I rule Vice Mayor completely out of order.
I am. That's all right. Does anybody else object? I didn't think so. Mayor does a wonderful job in performing. This was a charity event.
It was for the children. We do things for the children.
And if you don't get him at an opening to do something for you, you are losing an opportunity because he's actually really good. All right, thank you. I've had enough fun
leotards.
For a month.
That proves how evil the internet is.
No leotards. New rule.
Well, I don't know. I had 4-inch white platform shoes. Leotards.
MC Hammer pants. They'll be.
Well, everyone should remember that. Everyone should remember they will have the opportunity to see the mayor perform again twice in this year's Evening of Musical Magic in February. So, January 28th.
Right.
So they will have the opportunity to see something exciting with the mayor's performance.
Remember,
again.
Once again, it's for the children.
It is for the children.
Because it certainly isn't to advance anything in my career. We don't allow the children there because it will scare them to death, but they are the beneficiaries.
Any other questions? Or?
No, thank you so much. This is great. And I really appreciate the connection with spring break time. That just adds to it because, as Councilmember Fender said, it really, I think this is going to be the destination for a lot of families and give them something to be active all week long. That's what I heard a lot last year from people who were going to go out of town or did go out of town and then came back, went to Amakoko. It was a great spring break activity. So thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right, acknowledge receipt of minutes of various boards and committees. Motion from the Vice Mayor, second from Councilmember Fenter. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We accept those. Hear reports of meetings and conferences attended. Any reports? Councilmember Higgins.
It's exciting or anything, but while Cindy's still here, I attended the Mesa Arts Center Foundation Board, but that's just the side note to be able to do shameless promotion for the Mesa Arts Center Foundation Artists Shop. That's Co-op, Artist Co-op, that's right on the campus of the Mesa Arts Center. And if you still haven't shopped for your last-minute fun gifts, it was so much fun. I spent lots of hundreds of hundreds of dollars at the Mesa Arts Center Foundation Artist Co-op. But cool, so you know when you have that one person that you don't know what to get, reasonably priced, one-off, individually created artists, earrings and necklaces and ornaments and cups and cool plates, scarves. Should I go on? I can go on because I bought it all. there's enough. I left enough, and they continually replenish it. They can make more. But, you know, it is. It's right in downtown Mesa, easy to get to, and lots of fun things, you know, because we all have that person we don't know what to get, and you go there and you buy something unique and special, and they'll be thrilled. But then you have to go back next year and get something even better. Thank you.
Thank you. Last night, you know, I had a was really pleased. Had a great time attending an event, a concert at the Mesa Arts Center. Dave Kaw's Christmas. I've been there what 6 years in a row, I think. It is the highlight. But the thing that was really interesting is that we I invited Phoenix Mayor-elect Greg Stanton and his wife to join us. So he and his wife graciously accepted and came over, and Councilmember Richens invited a couple of his friends from Paradise Valley. We're trying to introduce them to Mason, down to Mesa. Went into a downtown eating establishment at 6 o'clock. It was absolutely packed. I mean, literally people out the door on a Wednesday night. Great experience there. The Arts Center was packed. And, you know, it was, like I said, in 6 years, every year you see an advanced maturity, more people, more activity, more excitement. The Arts Center is maturing, and Cindy, congratulations on this. It's just another big step in really becoming a renowned place for people to come and gather. And it was just from the time we showed up for dinner, there was an energy in downtown Mesa that you didn't used to see. So, you know, we're not there yet. We're not all the way there. But, boy, it's great to see kind of progress, and not coming in small parcels, but really progress in leaps and bounds. And there was really, like I said, an energy in downtown Mesa, up and down the street, that for a Wednesday night was awesome. So thank you for everyone. I think if anyone out there has not been to downtown, and usually when I talk to people and they're complaining about downtown Mesa, I said, well, when was the last time you were really down there? You know, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever. It's a different place than it used to be, and it's growing. It's growing more and more, and I was love to hear that you're performing live. Results have exceeded expectations, which means even more people are enjoying downtown. I think that's a combination of some very, very shrewd programming that is meeting the needs of the market and the wants of the market. But also, I think it's a lot of the fact that people now experience the Arts Center. They understand what a great community asset it is, and they're coming back for more, because it is a great place to go see a show, participate in activity. So congratulations, and thank you for that. Mr. Brady.
Yes, Council. Just a reminder that our schedule for next Council meetings in January, and Councilwoman Higgins brought this up, and I failed to mention this, we do have a study session for next in January, January 5th. We have a study that would give the council time to review the agenda for January 9th. So we will have our first study session in January. Will be on the 5th.
Okay. Thursday the 5th.
Thursday the 5th.
Okay. Ms. Crocker, any request to speak from the public?
No request, Mayor.
All right. I have a motion from Vice Mayor, a second from Council Member Higgins, to enter an executive session. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Nay.
You're outvoted. We're now entering an executive session. Thank you very much.